This is Take Care, a health and wellness show produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Jason Smith.
And I'm Catherine Loper.
If you've been to the doctor's office in the past couple of decades, you know things have changed. Long gone are the paper records and clipboards with handwritten notes about when you got the chicken pox. Today's doctor's offices and hospitals are tech savvy. Sharing records and sending off prescriptions are as easy as the click of a mouse. They're also keeping track of a lot more than your booster shots. Hospitals track quality and report that back to Medicare, insurance companies, the government, and more.
But what if all that reporting was actually stopping hospitals from improving care? Our next guest says that may very well be the case. Joining us now is Dr. Jerry Penso, president and CEO at AMGA, formerly the American Medical Group Association, a trade association representing medical groups and other organized systems of care. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Penso.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
So you wrote an opinion piece recently that details why you believe measuring and reporting quality in healthcare has become a barrier to actually improving healthcare. So let's start from the beginning. What kind of reporting is required today for a hospital or care provider?
You know, this is an important issue because we all want the best care for ourselves and our loved ones. Reporting right now is being done at all sorts of levels of the healthcare ecosystem. It's being done for hospitals, health plans, and even individual physician level. And it's required by government regulations, insurance company requirements, and these measures deal with things like quality, safety, cost of care, access, and patient experience. And there's really three reasons why we report these measures. One is accountability. Insurance company, government want to know that the care that is being provided is of the highest quality and is value and patient focused. But there's other reasons as well. The second one is improved care. Often these measures are used by health systems, medical groups, and their physicians to focus on what needs improving. And by doing these sort of measures, you can benchmark and compare yourself to other groups and maybe find out where you need to improve. And then finally, a newer use is for comparison shopping. Patients are becoming more like consumers, and by looking at these sort of ratings, if you will, they're going to be able to compare hospitals and physicians and other healthcare delivery organizations in order to determine maybe where is the best place for them to receive care.
So has the amount of time spent reporting and doing these quality measurement requirements increased or changed over the years?
Definitely. I'm a family doctor, and I remember the good old days when measurement started about 20 years ago. And we would report maybe 7-8 measures to our insurance companies or government regulators at the time. The challenge has become that these measures have grown in number dramatically in the last decade. Now, some of our medical groups and health systems are reporting hundreds of measures. And because of that, that takes away from a physician and the medical group's ability to provide the care that we all want. So for example, we did a survey, AMGA did a survey of our medical groups and health system members. We found that they have 17 information technology, IT professionals working for every 100 physicians. And on average, a health affairs article indicated that in 4 common medical group specialties, that those specialties are spending more than $15.4 billion and 785 hours per physician to report these quality measures.
A lot of resources. So in your article, you use the example of a patient looking for a knee replacement to illustrate the problem with all these quality measurements. Can you go through that example with us?
Sure. So a patient who is looking for a knee replacement, and that's a great example because that's not maybe an emergency. In an emergency, you may need to go to the closest hospital or the closest or your usual physician because you just don't have the time to, if you will, take a look at some of these ratings. But for a knee surgery, you might want to know, hey, how is the hospital infection rate? How is the length of stay? Do they have complications? Do the patients like their care? And probably most important to a patient, how quickly can you get back to doing the type of things that you like to do, what we call functional outcomes? All of these are wonderful outcomes. And AMGA really isn't concerned that these quality measures aren't good. In fact, many of them are terrific. The issue we have is that there's just too many right now that are what we call mandatory reporting. So we'd like a smaller if you will, more focus set for reporting. And all the other quality measures can be used by medical groups and health systems, if you will, for internal improvement purposes.
So is that the main thing you'd like, just to see fewer requirements, or are there different kinds of measures you'd like to see put in place?
Yes. First of all, our statement is less is more sometimes. Less but a more focused measure set can be just much more impactful to patients, and probably most important, give physicians back the time that we want for them to care for the patients. You know, my family members complain when they go to see the doctor, they seem to spend more time looking at the computer screen than maybe looking and examining them in the eye. So what we are saying is, let's give back some of that time. Now, not all that time that the doctor is doing looking at the computer screen is entering quality measures, but it does take quite a bit of time to enter the data that is required so that these measures can be reported. And if they're mandated to be reported, then that's why the physician is looking at the computer screen and entering all that data. And our physicians and our member groups really complain that they've become data clerks. And they want to get some of that time back to give back to patient care. We also feel that the measures could be more focused. We want measures that are relevant, that are risk-adjusted, that are based on good science, and most important, based on those outcomes that matter to the patients. So we put together a committee. We put a committee together of our experts from medical groups and health systems across the country. That committee approved these 14 measures that we think are the best core, if you will, starter set that medical groups and health systems should be reporting on.
So you brought up the issue of electronic health records, which requires a lot of data entry, and we're sort of in a transition of getting the health system over to electronic health records. And you feel like it could be helpful to improving patient care eventually. Can you explain that?
So like I mentioned, I'm a family doctor, and I've been around practicing for quite a while. And I remember the days before electronic health records were available. So we had paper charts, and the paper charts often got very thick. And if you went from one doctor to another doctor, well, that chart had to find its way to that other doctor. And if that other doctor wasn't part of your, let's say, health system, they may not even have access to that. So I think the era of electronic health records has a lot of advantages, mainly around coordination of your care, so that all the doctors who are taking care of you have a record of your history, your medications, your allergies, all the diagnoses that you have, your laboratory tests, as long as they have access to that one record. There's also all sorts of other advantages to electronic health records. For example, electronic prescribing. In the old days, a physician would write a paper prescription. You'd have to physically carry that to the pharmacist, wait maybe a few hours, if not a few days, to get that prescription filled. Right now, the physician can actually send that information electronically to the pharmacy. And when you arrive at the pharmacy, sometimes your prescription's sitting there waiting for you. And it's also a lot safer. My writing as a physician, many people complain that the handwriting of physicians isn't good. There were a lot of errors because the pharmacist may not have been able to read the handwriting correctly. So electronic health records can make it much more coordinated and safe for the patient. And again, what we're saying is, let's use it for its good. But some of the things that are required for these quality measures that require a lot more data entry by the physician and the care team, let's pull back a little bit on that and give some of that time back so the physician and the care team can really care for the patient.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the system progresses over time. Thanks so much for being with us today, Dr. Penso.
Thank you.